ready? Are you believing this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. This half a year has been a good year so far, and I'm expecting it to get better. And some people out there, and it's been a bad year, and I'm like, not on my side of town. That's God. I'm in the kingdom. I'm not standing out here in a world without a God that can't do nothing for me. He can move for you, but believe to see God's goodness, part two. You done started it, Beth? Okay, thank you. So praise the Lord. If you're not consistently believing God, some of God's people has had the concept, and I've seen it. I know. I've been in ministry a long time, and that don't mean I know everything, but I mean I've seen some stuff. But God's people tend, when pressure and trouble and all of that is on, to believe Him. But then when everything starts, He starts working everything out to back off. And when they do that, they go back into a lack. You back up into a lack, because faith is an expectation that we build in God with our walk with God. When we do it on a consistent basis, standing on God's word, and doing our best to keep putting first place and in our life, and keep Him there, not just lean on Him when we're in trouble, I mean, I'm hardly ever in trouble anymore, man. I mean, I'm still leaning on Him. I'm going to lean on Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to let Him bring me to a some 66:12 place. Though you go through the fire, you go through the flood, but I brought you, men right over your head, but I brought you out to a wealthy place, an abundant place. He does His people that way. But I'm not going to let that abundant place take me away from the one that I was believing in to get me across these dry places and hard places and demonic places into that place where there is more than enough. More than enough spiritually, more than enough physically, more than enough financially, more than enough relation-wise. Hallelujah. Because life is not just what we put on and what we eat and what we drink and where we work, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. It's right standing with God, joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That is the riches of the spiritual kingdom. And the riches of the spiritual kingdom, they will trickle into the natural realm and bless you in the natural realm. Praise the Lord. Backing off, I mean, just like, I was talking last week, when I go on vacation, it's not because I'm a preacher. Me and Teresa's done it for a long time. We seek the Lord, when to go, where to go, on vacation, trying to acknowledge Him, to work things around what He wants. And then the reason we do that is because when we do that, then we experience His blessing on the whole trip. I mean, you'll see favor. You'll just see things happen, and you come back and you'll be satisfied. You won't be like, vacation's over. You'll be back. Nah, it was a good vacation. Woo! You know what I'm saying? If you don't, you can experience that. Hallelujah. I go on vacation 3 days, I'm ready to come back because He's God down here in Alabama like He is in Tennessee. 2 or 3 days, I'm ready to come back. Just come on back. Let's go back to work so I can exercise my faith, and love my job on Monday. I still have to work on that. I don't want to go to work Monday mornings. And I'll get up and I'll say, thank you, Lord, for my job. Ooh, I enjoy the works of my hands. See, that's continually leaning on Him. Instead of going, that's been 30 years, God. Ain't it about time for me to retire? Good Lord. I'm not looking forward to that. retirement. I'm not looking forward to retiring. Hallelujah. I'm probably not going to retire. Why not? Hallelujah. If I'm enjoying the works of my hands, but because I'm standing in the Word of God, I'm believing to see God's goodness. Psalms 27, David said, I would have fainted lest I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Believe to see God's goodness on your job. Well, it's just the job I hate. No, he can cause you to really enjoy that job that your flesh hates. Come on, somebody. We need to be enjoying everyday life. Every day. I mean, I'm ready to go to work tomorrow. I've got to go work in Huntsville. I ain't been there in a while. Oh, God sends me everywhere. Huntsville, where was we at the other day? Bridgeport, Alabama. Travis, he pulls it up and said, look, Dad, it's nearly at Tennessee. He told Keith, we're going to Tennessee. That's not a good thing when he says that. If they're far off, I try not to give them an address till we're on our way. But you know what? I get to ride with my son and work with my son. They're, you know, I like the guy that works with us. See, what I'm saying here is it's not because I've made myself do all of this, love working. I believe I might have a little bit of addiction to work. Teresa says I do, but I don't think so. I just got a lot to get done, you know. But you know what? Used to, I was addicted to not working. But God, if I didn't want to go to work, I'd drive in a dump truck for a dude building a pond down at Locusport one time. And I decided I ain't going. I ain't answering the phone. I ain't, you know, just leave me alone. He drives to my house, and I'm like, man, this idiot's come to my house to get me to go to work, you know, and I'm not going. So I go out there and I'm like, look, dude, don't come after me to go to work. If I want to come to work, I'll be down there in that mud pit. I made me mad, Johnny, because he's messing up my plan. I'm not working today. But now over here in the kingdom now, bless God, I mean, I'm like, I told the lady, I said, I wonder if you could buy a day off. Buy time off. She said, I don't think so. I'd buy some of it myself if I could. By time off, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? Life is not a dread to those that seek the Lord. I mean, when things get a little rocky in your marriage, or things don't go my way at work all the time. I deal with people. I deal with contractors. People think you own your own business. It's just woo. Oh, it is woo. But it ain't that woo. All the time. So I have to say to the Lord, I thank you, Lord. I enjoy the works of my hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that everything works to my good. Hallelujah. Just like all of us do. Well, I don't got to worry about none of that. Well, you've got something. God's wanting you to lean on Him. Lean on Him when you're not strong. Lean on Him when you fast. You need to do some fasting. Fasting breaks strongholds. Fasting will help you break strongholds in your life. Something got a stronghold on you, do some fasting. What it does is it kills unbelief. It helps you to die out to unbelief and fear. Well, I ain't got none. Well, we ain't seen you regular here. You ain't got some unbelief? Well, then, bless God, you better, you know, I mean, you need to be preaching the gospel. If you've got rid of all unbelief and you're just really dedicated and faithful to the Lord, well, then He'd be using you to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, glory to God, go into all the world. He'll send you. Well, I got a full-time job. He's a smart God. I got a full-time job too, and He sent me all over the world. He told me I'm going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I thought for years I'd be flying a jet plane right now. But that was my thinking how He's going to do it. This, the Bible says acknowledge Him. Well, you know what? I quit my job, and we got hungry. I'm letting her believe in God. I'm believing God. I'm called to preach. I knew I was. But I'm in the wrong direction. Teresa said, maybe you're supposed to go back to work. God wants you to, and then the next time you said it, God wants you to go back to work. I want you to. So I go back to work. Lo and behold, the doors to preach begin to open. Things begin to happen again. Going to the streets and the jails and all. So don't tell me you can't have a job and do the will of God. I don't believe it. I do not believe it. I believe you can have a job and do the will of God. I believe the grace of God is the power of God that comes and equips me and you to do the extraordinary. The Bible says those that do know their God will do exploits. The word know don't mean you know about Him. The word know means you walk with Him. You're in communion with Him. You're willing to yield to Him. You're willing, that the word know is like you know, a man and wife, they know each other. See, God has great and wonderful things. The Lord told me one time, I'm like, well, God, I'm a businessman. God, I'm a businessman. He said, listen, He said, that world is a mission field. He said, I made you a businessman for the kingdom reason. He did it for the kingdom reason. And so now, me and you get to see God work, you know, in food, clothing, buildings, all over the world. See, I'm all over the world this morning. We're on YouTube, Facebook. We got our own website. We're over in Italy right now, in Germany, and we're all over the world. They log in from all Israel. They log in from all over the world. God can do that with me. The dude come drive all the way to get me to go to work, and I nearly cuss him out. You know, and I didn't go to work. I quit the guy. Made me mad. Don't come to my house and get me to go to work. If I won't go to work, I show up. See, that's wrong. Now you can't get me not to show up. But you know what? See, these things God begins to transform you on the inside through the Word of God and the relationship we have with the Lord, through renewing our mind to the Word. I mean, to stay ignorant, there is no excuse to be ignorant about the kingdom today. I mean, the Word is readily available through all. I mean, you can put it in your pocket and in your ear. I mean, 24/7. I mean, there's no reason to stay spiritual babies. I'm not just talking about here. We're not. The majority of this church right here, when you got to talking that unbelief and stuff, they're like, ooh, we're going to have to help them. I mean, they know it already. We, you know, because we don't walk. When you don't walk in anger, you notice everybody that's angry. If you're walking and you're an angry person, you get around angry people, it's just normal to you. You can click with that crowd. Kind of like Teresa said, some people need to get in where, I mean, we don't need to be praised all the time. We need to be praised, but we need to be under the anointed word that challenges us to go higher in the Lord and around people that have went before and prayed and fasted and went higher. And my life, people, that their life used to convict me, but it didn't make me run. I'm like, oh, man. I just got to do what they got to do, what they done. It made me want to go higher. It still does today. Praise God. I thought if Keith More Life Ministries and believe for $3 million worth of land over there. I mean, he did it when the economy fell. They bought that and believed because God said it in 2008, 9, and 10 and paid cash for it. I'm talking about what but 50 acres, and they paid like $1 or $2 million for it. I'm listening to it, and I'm like, God, why can't you do it for us over here? Why don't you do it for us? I wouldn't quit listening on Friday night. They had a Friday night service. I still wouldn't quit. Why? Because I thought to reach that level, I've got faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I've got to hear the word on that. I've got to hear the testimonies of how it's coming in. You know, I mean, they went and they heard that Jesus is coming to town, and they touched the hem of his garment. Faith comes by hearing. I mean, if you're around people that's negative all the time, negative, and you let that in, you'll become negative like them. You'll become miserable and negative. I mean, you know, and the Bible says in Psalms over there, it says, blessed is the man that sits not in the counsel of the ungodly or the scornful or the sinner. But his delight is in the Word of God. The Lord told me one time, he said, there's nobody that is lost without me that has any counsel for you. They are of this world. He didn't say they were bad people. He was saying, do not take counsel from the world anymore. My counsel you get from the house of God, from the Word of God. And when it is not in line with the Word of God, I call it, don't bite that bullet. I just don't bite that bullet, it'll bite you. Just like you hear out there, you know, God put sickness on me to teach me something stuff. I heard that, and I believed that before I read the Word. I believed that because the church preached that, where people in the world didn't preach it. The church made the world believe that. Because the church is the most powerful influence on this planet. If you are taught right and you believe right, then you're going to affect people you're around. You are the influence in their life. Whether they like you or they don't like you. Whether they agree with you or they don't agree with you. But the main thing is that I'm not going to believe wrong to appease people. You can't believe wrong to appease people. You lose the power of God. It's not okay to live together. A man and a woman live together and have sexual intercourse. That is not okay. It's a norm in this world right now. But we're in this world, but we're not of this world, right? So we do things the kingdom way. That way we have the anointing, they have the anointing in that relationship. They have God in there. Living outside of marriage, you won't have the blessing. I know we get quiet on these issues, but that's how come marriages are turned, being tore apart. Somebody put on Facebook this morning, they said, why are so many marriages failing? Now, I ain't going on there. I'll come to here and preach. I can listen to them because I ain't gonna get blasted right before church on Sunday morning. Because I know the answer. And so I thought, well, I'm gonna see what some of the answers are. So I went in there and I read a couple of them because they don't take their vows seriously. Maybe that's it. But I took mine serious, and me and Teresa couldn't live together. We'll have to kill each other. So it wasn't that we didn't take our vows. We were without God. We didn't have God in our marriage. But we do now. That's why we're still together. So I am profoundly, profoundly satisfied that the answer to all marriages is Jesus. His word, all the rest of it can be worked out. The details can be worked out in everything. But without the Lord, those two people are like trying to put two magnets together on major issues. You ever tried to put two magnets together? There's a force. I don't understand it, but there's a force there that keeps it apart. But you take that one magnet and a piece of metal, whack! It comes together. See, the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Used to, when our young teenager, they come in, they get them a girlfriend or a boyfriend, I go straight to them and I'll say, are you saved? I go straight to them. I ain't just done it here. I mean, 8 years. I've done it all the way back yonder. I was about to boot one boy out because he was after my little sheep. He ended up getting saved back in there. They got married and all that, you know, and everything. His life was all messed up. We've seen them. I've seen them come in, and their lives all messed up. I mean, to where they can't figure out how in the world they can even go on and move and have a good life and get them in touch with this Jesus and get them under the Word of God. And just about 6 or 7 months later, they're thinking about God, and their life is beginning to take on new meaning and new avenues in their life. God begin to move in their life, raise them up to where they're somebody today. And then I've seen the same ones come in and do that and have warning. There ain't nobody that slips up and backslides just overnight. If you walking with God, then something happens in these four grounds that Teresa has been talking about. Praise God. The Word of God, you got to let it bear fruit. In other words, if you're married, I mean, you take a stand on God's Word. There ain't a devil in hell. There ain't no money. There ain't no thing going to come between me and my mate. It's going, we are lifelong staying married. And if some of y'all single in here, you have opportunity, you're believing for something, you hook up and don't go have sex. Right there, that starts your downfall. Sex outside of marriage is ungodly, ungodlike, man or woman. Sex outside our teenagers, that's why we don't let them hang out. It's the hangout. Because ain't nothing good after dark happening at the hangout. I had a youth thing down here and had somebody over it and found two teenagers in the trunk. Smooching. It's a youth thing. I showed up and I'm mad. I mean, I'm mad. I said, get out of that trunk. Come out of there. Oh, there's the pastor. Yeah, I'm about to be your daddy. He should have smacked you around. I'm thinking I had to just get her done. I'm talking about an adult here. Supposed to be watching over him. Supposed to be a Christian. You got it? And letting this garbage go on. So I told him, listen, it's going to be a rule. The parents stay here. Don't dump your kids off for us to watch for 4 or 5 hours while you go to honky-tonking or whatever you're doing. Because we sure ain't seen you in church. Because I'm like, good God, I can't let them get pregnant here in church. You think teenagers won't do something? You was one. Give you an opportunity without Jesus. You're gone. We out of here, baby. We finding somewhere to go. I know we in church, the world's teaching them to do it. And we're just letting the world and the devil buy with it. Some of the churches are because they don't want to lose the youth. You're losing them anyways. If you don't get the Word of God in them, get God in their hearts to where they're after God. They're going to put God first. They're going to wait on God. They're going to stay and not have sex before marriage. That needs to be in them. I put it in Travis. I told him, I said, you better not ever have babies outside of marriage. And praise God they didn't. I never asked them. I don't want to know. Whatever y'all did, if I don't know nothing about it, it ain't bothered me. I don't go digging up bones, Johnny. You know those songs, I'm digging up bones. Some things are better left alone. I just don't dig up bones like that. It ain't going to matter now. Praise the Lord. Y'all better, if you did, you repented. I hope you did. If you didn't, you get it on the blood. But they're walking in the blessing. They're walking in the blessing. Travis, Beth, they going to get a divorce. He's tired, blah, blah, blah. And he comes out there, and we're going to kick him off the property and keep Beth. But God, he was in the flesh and you in the flesh. But God, we ain't helping you. We're going to kick you out because Beth is going after God. And we're going, yeah, if that's your only son, that's your problem. If your son or daughter is doing wrong and you agreeing with it, you and you're a Christian, you are telling them that this is God. You are teaching them ungodliness. And then they will not have the blessing because they won't walk truly with God because they'll have a warped up sense of how God is. We help Travis out. Travis, you're going to have to find you. You might as well just best stay in here. And we made up our mind we're going to help Beth. We're trying to help him get off of the devil's track. But thank God, I mean, that's years and years and years ago. And I mean now, I mean, he's a good man. She's a good woman of God, both of them. They walk with the Lord. They acknowledge God. They're both in ministry, praise the Lord. And I mean, and they're trying to teach their kids the same way they was raised. The same Jesus, the same way. And it is a challenge. See, it's a challenge for me to preach this because I'm going all over the world and I'm going on to YouTube. And then you got these restaurants. I don't go there anyhow. I don't like the food. But this Pride Month. Gay right Pride Month. I'll never eat another bite there, which I don't eat there anyways. Anybody know what it is? Cracker Barrel. Pride Month. Got the Rainbow Pride Month for the gays. That rainbow, Samantha said it, was a show of the covenant that God made with us, for us, that he would never flood this earth again. It ain't about gay rights. The rainbow is not about gay rights. In my heart and in God's heart, gay don't have a right. Not to be in this kingdom, it won't. See, if we don't address these issues that we're having, that is why some of the churches and the church is losing the power and the anointing of God, which can roll back the Red Sea, which can stop the lion's mouth, which can quench the fire in the furnace, praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, the Word of God contains the power of deliverance. That is why, you hear that Jesus died for you and you believe and you say, well, I need this Jesus. It's that Word that you heard and you believed in your heart delivered you from the powers of hell. It delivered you from the powers of darkness. The Word that you heard that Jesus done brought faith to you and you wanted deliverance. You wanted saved. And that Word has the power and grace and anointing on it to destroy those yokes and deliver you and set you in the kingdom of God. That's why I'm at work and I'm about 6 months. Anybody says anything to me, I mean, at work, I bring Jesus up somehow. I'd be like, yeah, Lord. And so I went in one day and they said, is that all you? Can you not say nothing without bringing up the Bible? I said, well, I'd be stupid if I did. I said, I lived 27 years without that Bible. I said, and my life was a mess. My family, I kept my family tore up. I kept Teresa's family tore up. I said, my life, I said, so I would be stupid. I said, we were on drugs. I said, we spent $47,000 in 7 months. Good thing there wasn't no hard drugs. It was just coming on the scene in the early 90s. Because we was party animals, and we lived for it. I mean, Teresa does a little bit of crack, and she wants to go tell her friend hi and bye and come back home. And I said, no, we're not. I mean, she gets messed up on crack. Could just come out. She hits, and she says, oh, I'm free. Oh, have you ever felt like a bird in a cage? And I hit it, and it just let me out. Lie. So I tell them at work, if you don't want to hear about Jesus, and you just clock in before I get here. I wasn't trying to be rude. But God, He redeemed me, Johnny. I mean, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. I've done seen things change in my life and all of that. But you know what I wasn't doing? Sitting at home, not going to church. I wasn't saying I won't do it today because I'm not going to ever lose God's power. I'm going to walk in His power. I'm going to be old age and still bearing fruit in my old age. I'm going to be 120 years old, and I'm going to still be planting tomatoes if I want to.
Well, God, the way my body feels now.
Yeah, you've been saying that for years, and you're agreeing with the way your body. I won't agree with the way my body tells me. I won't. And I force my body through the power of the Word and the Lord and the anointing and the grace of God to change according to what that Bible says. You know why most Christians don't do it? It's hard. When you first start doing it, it's hard. You feel like a liar. I'm healed. How are you, Brother Weston? I'm healed. What's wrong with your leg? Nothing. You just ain't seen it yet. I drug that leg to work with me and told it you ain't going to tell me what to do. I drove, and you know what? I don't have no trouble out of my leg no more. Praise God. I've been on my knees because I'm going to plant a garden to drive stakes and drive to and have to fall to my knees in pain and can't breathe. And say, God, I thank you, Lord, right now I will plant this garden. I'm going to get up and I'm going to be in your strength. I've been on my knees in my garden in the 85-degree weather. I ain't laying down. I've not had a garden but one time in 30 years, and I'm going to have one if I'm 120, if I have to walk completely just by the anointing, because it's going to be available. See, that's why people call me extreme. But I am extremely blessed. I'm extremely strong spiritually in the Lord, not in my own strength. When I'm leaning on Him, I'm unbreakable. When I'm leaning on Him, I am very lovable. I mean, I'm very compassionate. When I'm leaning on Him, I mean, I'm looking for somebody to buy cars for. I mean, I'm serious. I'll be like, the guy that's with me is having a little truck trouble, and I'm thinking, maybe it'll just blow up. Maybe it'll just burn up on him. Give me an opportunity to bless God, bless him. I'll buy a truck and give it to him. I ain't going to tell him that. He'll blow it up. You tell him, if your truck blows up, man, don't worry about it. Oh, shoot, they'll hold it to the floor all the way down and blow it up on the way. Don't do that. I would. Wouldn't you? If it's about quit anyhow, that sucker, I'll fill it up with brake fluid and run it, just no oil, just brake fluid. I used to think of everything. The devil helped me come up with that stuff. He did, really. He anoints people to come up with stuff to lean on everything but God. To go out in the world and enjoy, so because you feel like you're not enjoying life, he's a liar. Enjoyment is in Jesus. Then you do enjoy everything you're doing, man. I mean, I'm just telling you. And if you've never experienced that, then it's hard for your mind to get wrapped around what I'm saying. But you've got to believe it without seeing it. You've got to believe that you've got to trust in the Lord, that He's going to work things to all to your good. You got to put Him first. I'm still working on it, Johnny. Now, I'm not there. I'm just telling you. Don't think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm just like you. I have a flesh man. I have real issues. I still have to fight temper and different things, not as bad as it used to be. So don't think I'm up here preaching all this perfect stuff that I am. You know, no, He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people that's hearts after Him. I mean, David, look, he was majorly messed up. I mean, he majorly messed up and he, I mean, even knowing the Lord. But you know what, God, he was quick to repent. He was quick to turn to God. He was quick to ask the Lord, "Lord, forgive me for this and everything." And God called him a man after his own heart. It wasn't that David was perfect. But don't use that. I mean, I see him putting it on Facebook, and it gives this sense, well, Noah was drunk, Abraham was this, and all of their flaws and all of that, and they were all just sinners. And, you know, no, they used that for a crutch. They used that for a wrong doctrine. Yes, they were. But when God stepped in and salvation came in, they were changed. They began to change. These men didn't stay the same. Paul wasn't a church member killer after he got born again. So don't use that excuse. The Bible says, you know, I mean, you hear it out there, we're just old sinners saved by grace. We're always going to sin. I mean, we're just going to sin. There's no biblical scripture for that doctrine, that false doctrine that comes from the pits of hell. Did you hear me? That is a false doctrine that you always going to sin. I got scripture that I quote over myself so that I don't sin all the time. And it's in Romans. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. How clear is that? The Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death. So, you're going to sin if you believe you're a sinner. Now, this can't happen. It's just for the flesh. We're just flesh. If you believe in that, well, you ain't going to never come out of that. That's where you are. But if you believe you don't have to, bless God, there's something working on the inside of you called the Holy Spirit. There's an anointing working on the inside of you to help you to overcome. The Bible says that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in what? What the Word says. If the Word says you're healed, then why do you want to say you're sick? Well, the doctors, well, who's bigger, God or the doctors? Most of the doctors ain't saved. I mean, they go study human bodies so they can come up with some medicine to give us. Come on, somebody. But now Jesus, he's the creator of our bodies. If a vein can stop up and it reroutes in your head, I had it to happen. This one was plumb stopped up. They cleaned this side out. But this side over here, it just makes another, it creates another route. You're getting blood over there. Hallelujah. That's our God. Doctor said, well, ain't nothing we can do about that. Boy, I was doomed, wasn't I? Got the end of the rope there, Johnny. But I'm in touch with somebody that knows how to create organs. I know somebody that no weapon formed against me will prosper. That's got to be your stance against all of these things that has come. This tells you you can't be successful. You can't change. You can't not do the what things that you really want to not do. Hallelujah. And I'm working on it, Donald. Y'all pray for me. Lift me up. Just like with Moses, when they lifted his hand up, they went in the battle. But when they got tired and dropped his arms, they started losing. But now you ain't the wheel that makes me turn. Jesus is. I can't be the wheel that makes you turn. It's got to be Jesus. And then when we come together, we feed off of each other. We supply. We supply to each other strength, anointing, impartation, revelation, you know, corporate anointing. Praise the Lord. And then when you're out there at your job and the devil tries to rise up, he can't because we're all standing in agreement. Well, the Bible says one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. I mean, the devil's over there going, good Lord, I wish Johnny would do something so I can get down there. He got to look from afar off, man. I wish Johnny would do something, smack Samantha or something. Or she'd kill him. But that's truth. The Bible says our life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. We're in Him. Our life is hid, but we can come on out of there. Oh, this poor old me. You're just climbing out of God. You're coming on out of God. Boy, nobody. I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I wish somebody would just give us a break. Me and Teresa. Somebody give us a break, you know, and everything. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I did it. He said, I gave you a break. He said, His name is Jesus. And boy, was He right. All these years later, I was like, that's not what I'm talking about. Somebody give me a car. Somebody give me some land, man. I mean, somebody give me some money so my problems will go away. And that's what I was meaning. God, will somebody give us a break? Help us. We're poor. We're just poor. On the job the other day, and I walked out, and dudes laying down there, they'd eat their lunch or whatever, fixing to. And I said, hey, guys. I said, I'm fixing to go over here to McDonald's or wherever it's going. I said, want me to pick y'all up a hamburger? He said, nah. He said, us poor folk, we have to bring ours. We pack our lunch. And I said, well, you better eat it. So I go get in the car, and I'm driving across there, and I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, I don't have to pack a lunch. I'm not a poor man. But God, I'm not taking that seed. That's what they think. Well, lay there and eat you whatever you're eating. Soggy tomato sandwich. But you know what? I was going to get them a hamburger. I wouldn't ask them if you got any money. I'm going to jack them up with some hamburger, man. Bring them everybody back. The whole crew getting a hamburger. Why? The Bible says the generous soul shall be made. Whoo! I won't lack for hamburgers. And even though I didn't get to buy them, I got them. I was willing. And to be obedient to the Lord. And it ain't that I just heard the Lord. It's just the nature of God is to bless you and to give to you and to help you and to stop the enemy from coming into your life. And that, I mean, it pleases the Lord. And all we have to do is lean on me when you're not strong. You need a friend. His name is Jesus. Somebody to lean on. Lean on Him. I don't have to go around and say, I got to get with all these preachers, so I can figure out what to do. I'm a pastor. I need pastors. Pastors don't know what to do either. Basically, you bring them over here, and you got people fighting out in the parking lot. And, what do you do? I don't know. They can't come to my church. God, Lord, man, we need them in church. I've separated them before. They won't shut up. So I went over there and said, hey, you, hey. Come over here. Get up. Come over here. You'd be afraid to do that, wouldn't you? Well, I'm tired of that getting on my nerves. I'm trying to preach, and y'all ain't changing a bit because you're distracting everybody. You're getting me in the wrong spirit, and I'm losing the anointing, and I'm getting on to everybody on account of you. Right? So I got to do something about that devil. He gives them a thought of, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. You started it.
You started it.
No, you started it. I'm like, good Lord. He's kids, so, you know. But you know what? I seen them change, Johnny. And I told them later, I said, if y'all going to do that garbage, both of you just split when you come in. Just, psst, and just go over there so we can all enjoy church. And people wonder why they don't want to. No, they don't want to do that. Like Aiden back there, he said, this morning, he said,
give me that.
It was Aubrey. Aubrey, that's mine. I said, give me that. I said, that's not yours. And I handed it to Aubrey, and he went. And then he goes over there. And he's sitting over there. And I thought, you know, don't pout up with me. It wasn't yours. And so I told him, I said, come on over here. Come on, right here. Travis, he went. I told Travis, I said, he's upset with me.
But I don't care, Johnny.
I'm not going to teach you to do whatever you want to with your sister. Take whatever she wants. Get your own. Go draw your own. I told him, go get your car back there. Why am I telling you that? Because we got to train the next generation not to be self-willed and self-centered, and if they don't get their way, they're just going to leave you. I mean, families are divorcing each other because they get on each other's nerves because you've got some that's not flexible at all. God told me one time, He said, if you don't learn to be flexible, you will break at everything. If you don't learn to be flexible, what does that mean? You ain't got to have it your way every time. Somebody comes to your house and you done clean. Teresa, I don't know what, I think there's something wrong with her on this little issue here. I mean, she cleans house all day for the grandkids to come over on Tuesday night. I mean, that don't make sense. Let's clean the next day. Right? I mean, I would, right? I'm thinking, good Lord, clean Wednesday or Thursday. Don't get it spick and span for the grandkids to come. Now we can't come in with our shoes on. Now we can't, you know, we can't eat in the living room floor now because you cleaned all day. And, you know, God forbid I don't need to drop nothing on the couch. When they get out, I mean, bread, you can make a sandwich out of mine. I sat on a blanket and I just, every now and then, pfft, you know, you can make a sandwich out of that blanket, Johnny. Leftover food in it. It's my couch. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, she finally surrendered to that, Johnny. Teresa. We're not eating in the living room back years ago. It's not going to happen. We're not eating in the living room. But the grandkids changed her. They're eating in the living room. And I'm like, man, I'm glad they came along. Now I need a living room, praise God. Well, they got a table. They can't get on furniture. Don't even get the milk around the furniture. Well, see, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know the grandkids ain't over there, Grandma, Papa, we're not going back to there. They love correction. I'm serious. These kids really love correction because they're miserable when we let them have their way. They are miserable. They love correct. Get that in your mind, Mom and Dad. Kids love correction. They gonna tell you they don't. They don't want to hear no. But in reality, they go on, they're happy when they get over it. Suck your lip up. Aiden's back there probably full of chocolate milk right now. Done got over the little thing that I did. Just watch and see when he opens the door. He gonna run out and hug me. I'm gonna say, you ain't mad at me no more, boy? What, Papa? You remember you got mad? Now you all over, you wanna slobber all over me. See, the Word of God is not to get on to us. The Word of God is to come and bring light to darkness, bring knowledge of God's glory, bring knowledge of God's will to us, bring knowledge, and it brings us over into a place of victory. Because when we're born again, we're already victorious. The minute we get saved, we are victorious. I mean, we're not trying to get victorious. I mean, we have won. When we get born again, we came out of darkness into light. We are victorious already. Now we just got to find out and put into practice the victories that's already been won and put in that Bible and put them in place in our life, and they work. You know, I was thinking about tomato plants. I'm a gardener, Johnny, man. I mean, I like planting that stuff. And I'm going to close with this. I was thinking about a tomato plant. Why do I buy tomato plants? And I thought, well, I see something in that tomato plant. When I buy a tomato plant, I'm not buying that tomato plant. I'm buying what that tomato plant can do for me. Right? I mean, you go, but you don't see tomatoes. I mean, I see something in that plant. I see something that is valuable in that plant to me. Although I don't see it yet, I know that it's going to bring me tomatoes. So I take that plant and I go and I buy it and I pay good money for it. reminds you of the field that he went and bought, sold everything he had, bought the field so he could have the prize in the field. It's in the kingdom. I go and I put that tomato plant in the ground and I take care of that baby. I mean, weeds come up, I get them out. Need fertilizer, I put fertilizer on them. They need water, I water them. And that's the way God does us. He sees something in me and you that we probably most of the time don't see. He sees the potential. He knows what he can do. And he knows if he gets the word in your heart and he gets your heart after him and leaning on him and trusting in him, you're going to be healthy because now you've been planted in good ground. You're being fertilized in water and keeping the weeds and the devil away from you and unforgiveness and all of that. And he's putting his finger on it and we ask God to forgive us and we ask him to help us change and all of that. We're keeping the weeds from around that tomato plant. And that tomato plant is growing. I grow some over my head. Dude, and I don't do nothing special, but I talk to them and bless them and, you know, make sure I keep moisture around them. Teresa's been teaching on it. I've had them where they outgrew my stakes, and so I went and got more stakes and wired the stakes together. I couldn't even reach the top of the tomato plants one year. But I was spending time with them, right? So I want to encourage you, praise God. Believe to see God's goodness. Stand on God's word, and it's not just believing to see God's goodness. It's what really gets it. The faith has action and causes us to do things, helps us to do things that the Bible says. You know, just like if something happened to Teresa today, you would not ever see me have sex outside of marriage. Never. Never. If I can't marry her, I'm not going to have her. Right? Well, she get happier stuff. Who said? I don't care. It ain't mine anyhow. Get into all of that. Well, stay lonely then. Be willing to give them half of it. If they're going to spend the rest of their life with you, do it, you think? Huh? Well, come on, somebody. Are we generous in here or what? Do we not believe God could start us over again and bless us so fast we wish we'd have done it a long time ago? I ain't getting half of my stuff. Half of my, I'll give Teresa everything. Something happened to us, I'll just sign it all over to her here, baby. God give it to us, and let God die, and he'll do it again. I'll go out there, stand in the middle of a dry field again, and let him do it again. I believe he's that big a God. Now preach that and say that. That's my conviction. I believe it. So you'll believe that, and you won't be that way. God can move in your life, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we